first guest, Bob Stoops, achieved the heights as a college football coach, winning 10 Big 12 championships and a national title during a 16-year career at Oklahoma. He won almost 80% of his games before retiring from college football in 2017. But after 2 years away from the game, Stoops is returning to the sidelines. Like his Oklahoma predecessors Bud Wilkinson, Chuck Fairbanks, and Barry Switzer, Stoops will attempt to parlay his success as a college coach into success as a pro coach. Wilkinson, Fairbanks, Switzer all went to the NFL, and Bob has signed on as head coach of the Dallas entry of the XFL, which begins play in 2020. And Bob is visiting with us today to talk about the XFL and his career. Bob Stoops, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you.
Hey, Bob, when you retired from Oklahoma in June of 2017, at the age of 56, was there a thought in the back of your mind that one day you would return to coaching, or did you consider yourself out of the game for good?
No, I had considered myself out of the game for good. And, you know, I had my reasons and felt comfortable with it, though I knew how hard it would be and how different it would be. I was aware of all that, and I was out for good. And this league, as you're going to get to this, at the time I left, the XFL and this operation wasn't in existence. So I was out, you know, in my mind.
Okay, with your success at Oklahoma, if you had put the word out, you likely could have written your own ticket to another elite Power 5 coaching gig. So why the XFL?
Well, that's true. There's still people that inquire if I would have interest, or try my agent or people to get to me if I would have interest. And if I was going to do that, I would have stayed at Oklahoma. There was no alarming or whatever reason to leave. So I wasn't looking to do something else. But when Oliver Luck called me, initially I had some inquiries from other people and to my agent about the XFL. And initially I said, I'm not interested. And then when Oliver Luck called me and we got to talking more and more about it, my wife and I sat down and started thinking about it a little bit more. And the fact that you could, you know, I could, got my entire summer and fall. I could watch my son and OU play in the fall. The worst months of the year to golf are February, March, April, out in this area of the country. And I thought, you know what? This is a 10-game schedule. The proximity to Dallas works for my family, my kids, and my wife to travel back and forth to, you know, to be down there part-time. It all seemed to fit. And I believe in Oliver Luck, who's a really serious guy that's been an accomplished guy. And Vince McMahon, who's also, you can't deny his accomplishments and his success. So I knew they wanted to play real and good football, which mattered to me. I wasn't going to get in something that wasn't really good football. So the more I kept thinking about it with Oliver, I called him back after a few days. I said, you know what, this fits me. You know, for this period of time, it eats up a pocket of the year that I think will work really well for my family and I at this point in my life.
Did you visit with McMahon much, and what were your impressions of Vince?
I thought he was awesome. No, we had a good conversation on the phone, and I thought he was great. You know what? Talking to him was like talking to another head coach somewhere. You know, it was like talking to my different head coaching colleagues here or there that, you know, a guy that knows what he wants to do, he's very serious about having success, and, his vision for what he wanted. And so all of it together, I was very impressed with him.
Well, Bobby, you talked about familiarity, and Oklahoma, of course, played the Red River rivalry against Texas every year at the Cotton Bowl. That's where you'll be playing your games. That's a definite feeling of familiarity. Was that at all part of the attraction of becoming head coach of the Dallas XFL team?
Well, no, that's not true. We're not playing at the Cotton Bowl or at the Red. We're playing in the Texas Rangers Stadium. The Rangers are moving across the street to a new facility that's being built the following year, and they're retrofitting the baseball field in the Rangers Stadium to hold soccer games and football games. So they're going to make that a venue, as you know, for whether it be high school playoff games, soccer games, football games, and that'll be our home field and our home facility. Again, the Texas Rangers Stadium, which is Globe Life Park Stadium.
played in a baseball park. Of course, there's some history in the old days of the NFL, back when Rick and I were young fellas. Football teams playing in baseball. So I used to cover the Raiders when they played the Oakland Coliseum, and Cliff Branch was the master of running defenders in front of the end zone. He could run them right into the fence. It was great. It was a great thing. You're going to have to
it'll be
offense at all
I
for the field?
I think it'll be awesome, though. It's a great venue, and it's only, it's not only maybe 20 years old. So it's a really great venue. You know, parking's great there. They got Texas Live, a big restaurant bar area that holds a ton of people. So I think it's going to work out really well.
Have you talked to Barry Switzer or anyone else about the coaching transition from college football to pro football?
Not really. I've talked to Coach Switzer all the time. In fact, I was at an event last evening with him, spent a lot of time with him. And, I went with I went down and watched Coach Spurrier, ahead of the AAF season, watched his practice for a day. You know, we talk a lot. And so, but I didn't, we didn't talk about too many things in regard to it. What I'm looking forward to it, what I saw the first 10 minutes I watched Coach Spurrier's practice, is working with older players, working with guys that understand already football. Most of them had, accomplished college careers. Some of them had played in the NFL already and are just outside of the NFL. So working with these older guys, they know a lot of football. And I'm looking forward to that, working with these guys that are more mature and, already know the game so well.
Bob, the XFL will be a different game from what football fans have been watching on Saturdays and Sundays. There will be, among other rule changes, no extra point kicks, no fair catches on punts, a quick 30-second play clock, and tap penalties when a player is sent off the field for a play instead of his team being penalized yardage. So, have you got the XFL game figured out yet?
Well, there are no rule changes that are in stone yet. Everything is still being experimented with and analyzed. So nothing has been fully decided. But for the most part, it's still going to be football, as you see, on Saturdays and Sundays. With some modifications maybe for overtime, some modifications for an extra point. The main part of the football, though, is still going to be what you're used to watching. How exciting is watching an extra point anyway, right?
I'm with you.
So, let's face it, it's just a waste of time. So... that's not true. I get it. There's a point there and something could happen. But, but the chances of it happening are pretty minuscule. So anyway, so we're going to have maybe a little more excitement in some key areas, period. But other than that, great football to watch, and exciting football to watch.
Yeah, I covered the first XFL game, the first go-round with Vince. And that game was unlike any I'd ever seen. There were so many creative things done. So I'm sure there are going to be a lot of creative things done in the relaunch here.
Well, I think some creative in a smart way that are still good football. Mm-hmm. I think that part of it, yes, there will be. But is it going to look a lot different than, let's face it, do you need to change really good football that everybody loves to watch right now? So I think the changes we'll have, like in overtime, or an extra point, some subtle changes will be exciting to people, but it's still really good football.
Yep.
I don't think we're going to have a mad scramble with two guys fighting for the ball to start the game. You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
I think some of it. Yeah, I didn't. That made me turn it off immediately. So what I'm saying is, there's, I don't know. We've got a great product in football in the college level and the NFL level. Let's make sure we stay in line with what people enjoy watching.
Bob, the league is going to need
with some modifications that can improve it. Like I don't think the NFL rule in overtime is fair. I mean, Kansas City and New England go to overtime, and one of the best players in the NFL doesn't get to touch the ball in overtime. That's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for me. I mean, that turns me off. I'm like, that doesn't seem right. Just the coin flip decided the game.
Yeah. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, the league is going to need some name players to survive, especially at the quarterback position. Are there quarterbacks out there who can fill the bill?
Oh, sure. You know, there'll be, there's plenty of quarterbacks that are just outside the NFL that are really good players, and, you know, we'll find them.
Well, you regularly coach in front of, I think, almost 90,000 fans in Oklahoma and upwards of 100,000 in bowl games sometimes. The seating capacity at Global Life, I think, is about 25,000. Will you miss that
sort of more
college
than that,
game day?
It's not 80,
with
that's
the crowd
for sure.
Being so huge and raucous?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, no, it's not going to be what OU is on a big game with 85 or 80,000 people. But that's okay. I mean, I understand that. And, you know, and we'll have a big crowd, I hope. You know, people in this part of the country love their football. And it's like I've said it more than one occasion. We're not looking to convert any Cowboy fans. But when their season's over on the Super Bowl there in early February, put your jersey away, put ours on for about 10 games, you know. It's just a couple of months. Enjoy watching football, an exciting brand of football. And I, you know, I believe in that area. People love their ball. They'll come out and watch.
You worked on the staff of some legendary college coaches, Hayden Fry, Bill Snyder, Steve Spurrier. Who had the greatest influence on your coaching philosophy?
Well, they all did to some degree, of course. At different stages of my life, but it, for sure, you know, Steve Spurrier is kind of a very close friend to my family, to me, and the guy I've tried to emulate and, you know, model everything we did here at OU after what we did at Florida when I was there. So by far and away, he's had the biggest impact. But you know, in my early years, Coach Fry was incredible to me. And, you know, Coach Snyder gave me another huge break by giving me a chance to be a co-defensive coordinator and call the defense. That was a huge break at a young age.
Bob, last thing. At any point after you retired, did you miss the college game? Did you miss standing on that sideline?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Of course. I was, the first year, I was like a zombie. I didn't know how to watch a game. I didn't know how to go to a game. It was, it was like an out-of-body experience. But that didn't surprise me. So it's not like I thought I'd just walk away and after what you've done your whole life and all of a sudden it's all good. I knew for sure it was going to be that way, and it was. It was. I knew it was going to be hard. It was all of that and even more. But that didn't mean it was wrong or I didn't do what I wanted to do. It's just hard. You know, it was just hard to experience, you know. You just have to go through it, and a little bit better than next year. I got my fingers crossed this year will be a little bit better.
I'm sure it will. Well, it's Bob, good to have you back. Hey, Bob, thanks for stopping by visiting us. Best of luck in your pro debut as head coach of XFL Dallas, and I look forward to seeing you over at Globe Life Park. Thanks, Bob.
Hey guys, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.